Hey everyone, it's Kelly here. Welcome to another episode. Today I'm joined with Elisa Camus Brenda, who is a clinical social worker in Philadelphia. And we're going to talk about her journey of building a successful private practice. And at the end of this, we're going to invite you to share what you've learned from this podcast. So pay attention and let's get started. Hey, Elisa, welcome.
Hi, Kelly. Thanks for having me.
Aw, thank you for being here. Let's talk a little bit about your current practice, where it's at, what you've been up to recently.
So my current practice is a solo practice. I work with adults with anxiety, anger management issues, perinatal mood disorders, and what am I forgetting? Addictions. I have a full caseload, and that's kind of the general overview of what's happening now. Yeah.
How long have you been in practice?
I've been in practice since 2009.
Wow. Congrats.
Yeah. Yeah. Well, a lot of ups and downs.
Right?
Yeah.
That's what we want to talk about today. When you first started your private practice, what was the vision of what you were going to create? What did success mean to you? Like, I'm going to start this private practice, and this is what it means if I've made it.
I think having a full caseload and being able to pay my bills without having to keep my full-time job was what I thought success was. I started it on weekends, still having a full-time job, and then added an evening until I was ready to take the leap.
What was it like to take that leap?
It was scary and exciting. It needed to happen because things were happening at the full-time job that were making me miserable. But it also coincided with me being pretty busy in the, like, I was full, I had a full day Saturday, and I want to say maybe I was working two evenings a week, even, I don't remember, but I probably had more, like, almost like a half to three quarters of a full caseload at the time. So I was excited to just get that full and go from there.
What do you remember about that time and leaving your full-time job?
I remember having a lot of free time. but not because I was working so hard trying to figure out how to market myself and network and do all the stuff to build my practice. I was spending so much time doing so much stuff and nothing was happening. I wasn't doing it right. I learned from you all at some point.
Well, what does that mean, really? Like, you, what do you feel needed to shift?
Well, so I was doing blog posts as an example, but they were like very random. They, you know, maybe they were somehow connected to my, to like my, one of my areas of specialty, but, you know, they didn't speak to the ideal client. Like I didn't have, you know, I was that didn't happen yet. I didn't know that how to do that, or that that's what blogging was supposed to do. I didn't. So in addition to it not necessarily speaking to the client, it didn't have the right keywords to for the SEO to work for it. Like, it was like all the stuff. But that's an example of something that I was doing, but I needed to learn how to do it differently for it to have a benefit.
Right. I think a lot of people have an idea of what they should be doing. It's sort of having the skill and the knowledge to do it well and in a way that is effective, right? So sometimes people will say, I've been networking, I've been talking to people, but then we dig into, like, how are you doing that? What are the things you're saying? How are you choosing who to network with, right? Some of the more strategic pieces under it can really shift the outcome of the action that you're taking. And I have to say, like, kudos to you. You still, like, were building something with what knowledge you did have, right? Like, you did create, like, this part-time practice with your full-time job, and then you started honing in on how to do it better and with more ease, it sounds like.
It took a long time. I Yeah, I mean, I struggled to pay my bills for a long time after I left my full-time job. And it wasn't until I joined business school boot camp because my daughter was going to be going to preschool the next year, and so she was going to be somewhere during the day. And previously, before that, from the time I left my full-time job until then, I was working evenings and weekends because I was convinced that that was the only way that I could have a full practice. I didn't think people would want to come during the day. And, I wasn't seeing my husband. Our schedules were
Ships
opposite.
passing in the night, kind of thing.
Yeah. And I was in a panic when I realized that preschool meant like 9 to 3, because I thought I could take my daughter at 12 and like start my day and have the morning with her. And I was like, I'm not going to be able to see my husband or my daughter. Like, that's not going to work. And I knew I needed to do something in order to build up my practice so that I could have the schedule that I wanted and pay my bills.
So, can you kind of walk through what that process look like when you have created something, life changes, and you realize this isn't going to keep working for how life is changing? How did you approach that to shift into creating something that's more aligned with your life?
I joined boot camp. I mean, really, and part of what happened at boot camp was, I think people said, like, why wouldn't people want to come during the day, first of all? Like, and like, my mind was just so convinced that there's no one that's going to want to come during the day. That's, private pay as well. And even though the office space I picked years before was like downtown Philadelphia, where all these high rises are with all these businesses in them. And like, why wouldn't those people step out of their office for an hour for an appointment? But I was stuck on this idea that it couldn't work. And so I knew I needed to do something, and I interviewed, I researched all of the programs that all the free programs I had been following, like all the paid ones that went with them. And I picked you all, and I think a lot shifted in my mind about how I viewed things. I really learned, like, I can do this the way I want to do it. And I even, the ideal day and the ideal week and all of that, like, I implemented that based on how I work best. I did like 3 days of like back-to-back appointments, and then I had 2 days for like the marketing and paperwork and all of that. And that was perfect for me. I never would have thought, oh, even if I'm doing 5 days a week, I have to be available whenever the client wants to be available. And I didn't have to.
Yeah, so what I hear, like in terms of making that shift towards more alignment to your life, is really shifting the beliefs to something that's more true and like undoing the things that maybe were handed to you, right? Like this belief, and some of you may be listening, that I have to do a weekend, I have to do an evening, kids only come in, I hear different niches. This niche only is available during these times of day, and this niche is only, all these different kinds of things. Really evaluating, where did that come from? Who taught me that? Is that based in truth? Have I even tried something different? And I think the beauty of like business school or any other kind of community or course that people may join is that with diversity in your community, you get to see the infinite possibilities of what you can create. That there are people that have, yes, they only want to work evenings. There are people that do intensive and only work 2 days a month and they do like intensives, or people who work mornings only. There's so much variety that you can see that there's possibility. And really looking at the beliefs that get you in the way, that get in the way of you creating what you want, and then really tapping into what you want. We have an exercise that Elisa is like referring to of this perfect day, where it's not like a perfect day where you win the lottery. It's like a really good, solid day of going to work, living your life, being in your community, being in relationship, What does the day look like? And where does your time and energy go? Because again, a lot of us are handed models of cookie cutters of like, this is how your day needs to be. We work 9 to 5, or we work evenings, and then, we only go out on weekends. We live for weekends, all this different kind of thing. And if you can really step into, no, what do I really want to create? It will inform how you create your practice. So along the way, while it has been hard, what have been some of the successes? Like, what have been some of the little signs of like, oh, I got it, I'm on the right path, and ooh, I did something that really worked for me. What were some of those things?
Well, my practice getting full and having a waiting list. I up until a couple months ago had a very small but a group practice where I had at one point I had two part-time therapists, at another time I had one part-time therapist, and that was those felt definitely felt like wins for me and were really exciting. I loved the community and being able to work with other people, being able to supervise people to get their licenses, and just loved I love discussing cases, and so that was, and I love teaching too. So that was really nice to have newer, younger therapists to be under me and to be able to guide them in their journey. I loved that. What other things? I mean, I remember, with the group practice, I remember thinking like, wow, like think about all the people like I'm indirectly helping as well, and like one of them did work on Saturdays, and I remember thinking, wow, like I'm helping someone right now and I'm making some money, and yet I'm like at the amusement park with my family. Like, how cool is that? So like there were definitely perks to the group practice as well. But yeah, just being able to get to work with clients that I enjoy working with, that always feels really good too, because before boot camp, while I did market specific specialties, if someone called with something else and they were willing to see me, I took them because I needed more clients, and that wasn't always best for me. And that, now I feel confident to say I'm not the right fit for you.
I think that that's a beautiful example of like integrity as success, like being in more integrity and more authenticity. That's a marker of success, I think. And it's something that often gets not looked at or talked about in our communities about, well, we are compelled to help whoever comes through the door. Maybe it's not even about money or like, I need to fill my caseload. Maybe it's just like, I have to help everybody. This belief, that's something that I was kind of bred with, I think a lot raised with. And to be in more integrity, it takes a lot of courage. So I applaud you for that.
No, thank you.
Can we talk a little bit about going from group back to solo?
So a lot of ups and downs with that. I mean, what I can say is I'm happy being back in solo practice. I don't think I realized the stress of having a group practice, having employees, supervisees. I don't think I realized how much that was impacting my joy, because now, my schedule's like I see a lot more clients now. I didn't have to see as many when I had employees, but I'm really busy with clients, but somehow I have more time to get stuff done. Yeah, so it's worked out okay in that sense. In terms of like the like boot camp stuff, it was what I think about what happened that led to me going back to solo practice, and part of it is I didn't stick with boot camp stuff. I got busy. When I finished boot camp, I had all the reminders on my calendar for each month that I had to do this thing and all the things that I learned. And those things all fell to the wayside. I did, I contracted out some SEO stuff and some things like that. And of course, I had to update website for employees. And but I definitely got off track with some stuff as well. And I don't know that I used boot camp as much as I could have when I was setting up the group practice either. From time to time, I'd go and I'd look something up, but I think there was probably a whole lot more that I could have set myself up better for.
Can I ask what the decision was to go back into solo? Did you just discover that group wasn't for you?
I didn't have enough clients for my employee. And I don't know. And like after they left, I then my caseload filled up. So I don't know if, some of that was in terms of like my interviewing or figuring out who's a good fit for the practice or if it was something else. But we continued to try to build up their caseload and it wasn't happening. And at some point it just didn't quite feel worth the energy anymore.
Yeah, I think that what I want to highlight for people listening is that some people have this idea that more is better, or that, I'm a really good practice owner if I have a group practice. Some people discover that group practice isn't for them. There is a different kind of element of leadership and a different kind of management side that some people fall into and are like, oh, that's more than I have capacity for. That said, I think that if you ever wanted to try it again, Alisa, I think there's a way to do it that's a little bit more paced that can feel safer for your nervous system, because I think sometimes we grow so quickly, right? So when we're not able to fill those caseloads, maybe the growth was too fast, or there's different factors that could be at play. And it sounds like the group practice kind of started sort of like how your solo did, right? With just you just do it and then you figure out like, oh, how could I do this like a little bit better? But then when you start to realize for you, it sounds like, oh, this is not worth it for me, the energetic cost. And I think honoring yourself and your body and your energy and your schedule and your life needs is successful. I don't see it as like a failure that you go from group to solo. And I've worked with clinicians that have done it several times. They've been like, okay, I feel ready again to try group. And they do group for a little while. And then they're like, no, this isn't for me. Like everyone's process is different. But I do, I think it's beautiful that you took a moment to really look at what was right for you. And not follow again another script of this is the way you do it. If you want to make more money, you should go do group practice. There's lots of other ways to make money, y'all, in your private practice beyond doing group practice. You can do it in other ways. But sometimes, what is it to be just successful as a solo group, a solo practice owner, and in to enjoy? Just to enjoy what you've created and not, why do we always have to grow more? We may not have to do that either.
No, I do. I feel at peace with this decision. March, I think, is when I made the decision, so it's not too old. Yeah, there were other times during the group practice that I did feel like a failure because of things that weren't working well that I kept trying to make work well that I couldn't figure out how to make work well, probably because I was trying to change people. If we really look at it, and even though that's what I say to my clients all the time, we can't change other people. But I think if we talk about mindset, but I didn't feel that way when I made this decision, and it felt okay. And I'm glad to hear you say that you worked with people who've gone back and forth, because I
Yes.
have it in my mind, like, I don't know what the future of my practice looks like, but I'm okay with that because right now I'm okay with what it is, and maybe I'll go back to it and maybe I won't, but
Yeah.
it's good for now.
There is a beauty in holding. Like, stability is a great thing. Why not enjoy some stability? You know, I think we gloss over, and again, we get into this cultural thing in the US particularly. We have this drive of like more, 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 do more, bigger, better. But I think like peace and ease and stability is so underrated and yet so needed for ourselves and our nervous systems and for us to be present in all aspects of our life, you know. Sometimes we use the chaos of our business to avoid living and the presence needed. And so good for you for like figuring out what was right for you right now and to sit with that. So for those who are listening who might be just like struggling because you've shared, there's been ups and downs and you've shared some of those struggles. What kind of encouragement do you want to give to therapists who are wanting that successful practice, whatever it may look like, but are kind of struggling?
I would say to really figure out what you want. Stop the comparing game of whatever the therapist down the street's doing. Figure out what you want and work towards that, because that's don't try and be someone else. Yeah, and use any me, because you all are amazing and it's so helpful. And it's not just the marketing, it's the mindset, it's all of it.
It's all of it. It's heart, mind, body, spirit. All of it comes on board when you do this work. I'm so glad to know you, Elisa, and to share your story. And I look forward to seeing what is to come, even if it is more of what is currently. As long as you are continuing to create joy and ease in your life, I'm here for it.
Great. Thank you.
And if people want to check you out, where could they go to find more about your practice?
The website is serenitysolutionstherapy.com.
So, what is your takeaway for those of you who are listening? Feel free to comment, email us, post on social media. We'd love to hear from you. This is about you finding your own path, and we're here to support you. Don't forget, you can check out over 15 hours of free training. There's lots of people who have gone before you who have done this and done this well. And we hope that you learn from them so that you can find more ease in your private practice journey. And until next time, we'll see you.